This is Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, racial justice editor at Yes Magazine. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. Labor organizing in the United States is on the rise. According to the Washington Post, July was one of the busiest months for strikes in three decades. But alongside the uptick in union activity is a sharp increase in employer retaliations against organizing workers. The Labor Department reports that the number of unfair labor practice charges brought against employers increased by 16% in the first half of the fiscal year. A case in point is Amazon, one of the nation's largest employers, which contracts with thousands of smaller delivery companies. Earlier this year, 84 workers with a contractor named Battle-Tested Strategies in Southern California made history by joining the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. In spite of the fact that Amazon had an active contract with the delivery company, it ended the contract. Now, in response to what is being called a national worker retaliation crisis, the group called Unemployed Workers United has launched a campaign called Fired Up. And here to tell me about it is Claudia Magana, Campaigns Director for Unemployed Workers United. Welcome to the program, Claudia.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. So first, tell me about how widespread this issue is of retaliations. It is illegal, is it not, for employers to retaliate against workers if it is done in response to labor organizing? They're not supposed to be able to do it, but they are doing it. Why?
Yeah, they do it, and they do it all the time, and they do it because it is effective, one of the most effective ways to stop the momentum of an organizing campaign and to create a chilling effect within the workplace that then essentially stops the organizing in its tracks. And that's ultimately the goal that many employers have and these corporations have in retaliating against workers and firing them and limiting their hours in order to stop these workers from doing what is their actual right, which is to form a union in the workplace if that's what they desire, or to demand that they be paid for the hours that they've worked, or any other workplace violation they may be experiencing. But we see it every day. And you just named the Amazon workers, for example. These were 84 workers in Palmdale who formed a union within their own right. They are recognized by the driving company that they worked for, Battle Tested Strategies. And the following day, after they had gone public with their union, Amazon came to their morning stand-up meeting and let them know that the contract would be terminated early, right? And that was a direct response that had the exact chilling effect of making sure that no other driving company at that location wanted to follow suit and form a union.
Now, when we think about the ways in which federal agencies are supposed to enforce laws like, illegal retaliation for labor organizing, that sounds nice in theory, but isn't it true that the NLRB has been overwhelmed, inundated, not just with the exciting work of dealing with applications for forming unions and petitions for forming unions, but also because of that uptick in labor activity, we're seeing this uptick in employer-based retaliation against workers, and it seems as though the agency is understaffed. That's a big problem, but also an easy thing to fix, right?
In theory, a lot of these fixes should be easy, right? And that's where, you end up with the gridlock and the politicization of an issue that really doesn't need to be politicized. At the end of the day, these are rights that are being enforced. And yeah, agencies that are set up to enforce the laws as they exist should be well-resourced to do that. But, if you speak to workers who approach this individually or unions who are constantly working with and dealing with these cases at the National Labor Relations Board, the experience all around is that it is a slow process, it is under-resourced, and that the burden of proving this often falls on the worker, and the greatest cost comes to the workers when they are the ones bringing these charges forward. And they'll spend months, and sometimes it's been years, before having a resolution for what was clearly a workplace retaliation firing. But the burden so almost always falls on the worker, and it creates a huge economic cost to them. And this is something that these employers and these corporations, they know that you know, for them, while it may ultimately be illegal and it might get overturned and they may have to reinstate this worker, by the time that that happens, they have achieved their ultimate goal, which is of, you know, like squashing the organizing campaign, of like eliminating the fire that existed there and making sure that they're able to deter that effort. And that's successful for them, right? So they may reinstate that worker after months, but they've already, you know, hampered the organizing campaign.
So in addition to Amazon workers in Southern California who were retaliated against, tell me about the COVID testing workers that Unemployed Workers United has been working with in Texas. This is where you have the added issue of people's immigration status coming in as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, a lot of these, you know, employers have no shame in what they'll use to intimidate workers and to stop them from asserting their rights in the workplace. You know, we were working with these COVID testing workers who were primarily immigrant workers, immigrant women, several of which whom were undocumented. They were misclassified as independent contractors. And these are the folks that when you're driving around, especially, you know, during the peak of the pandemic, and you'd see a tent outside and you can just go approach and be tested for free. They were federally contracted companies that were administering this. And we, you know, we came across these workers who had been working, you know, 12-hour days. They wouldn't stop working from the moment the first car came to get tested to the last one left, because they were paid the company, and then these workers were paid per test that they completed. Working in any weather, whether it was like a rain, extreme heat, they had to stay at their stations. They didn't have, this is again peak of the pandemic, places to use the restroom. They didn't have places to take lunch breaks. And they continued to work through it. They were actually asked to also work while they were sick, again, because this company was so adamant about making sure that as many tests were completed as possible. And when these workers started to notice discrepancies in their paychecks, they actually approached the owners of this company. And the response they were met with was threats against their lives, threats against their families, the threats to burn down their homes, threats to call immigration on them. And just like a passing around the blame of like who was responsible for paying them these wages. And so ultimately when, you know, they were through those threats, they were able to, you know, have folks out of fear continue working and not say anything. And then when workers did finally want to take action around it and come together, they were fired for doing so. And in this case, it wasn't even about forming a union. It was just about making sure that they were paid their owed wages. And so we see this all the time, and we see it most egregiously often when it's folks who are undocumented and who have the additional layer of fear because they can be threatened with their immigration status, especially in a place like Texas.
So what are some of the ways in which this issue can get highlighted? Isn't it true that when you have these kinds of firings and this kind of retaliation, that it really is disruptive to the economy, right? I mean, workers get blamed for demanding labor rights, and at the same time, it's employers who, when they don't meet those demands, or worse, retaliate against workers for making the demands, they're the ones who are being disruptive, right? And we're seeing this all the time right now with this amazing wave of strikes we're seeing around the country.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, going back to Amazon, 84 workers immediately in one swoop out of a job, right? That definitely has an impact in a especially in a small community like Palmdale, which is, you know, it's outside of the center of Los Angeles. It's about an hour and 10 minutes from downtown LA. So if this is a more rural area, job opportunities are definitely more limited there. And to think that an employer can just have the power to, in order just to squash an organizing campaign, completely eliminate 84 jobs, that has a huge impact to the economy, right? Those are 84 families that are relying on that job and relying on what they thought was going to be a good job. And that's also true what we're seeing with Starbucks happening across the country, right? Where they're shutting down complete stores using any random reason to do so, when really we know it's because workers are organizing. And, you know, when that happens, when these corporations get away with just shutting down complete businesses, they're eliminating jobs, they're cutting off, you know, what's an important source of income to like a family and to their livelihood. And there should be consequences for doing that when it's just to stop these workers from demanding improvements and or just dignity in the workplace.
How are workers organizing? Tell me about the Unemployed Workers United. Tell me about the Fired Up campaign that your organization has put together.
Absolutely. So, you know, we have we've come together with Jobs with Justice to really bring a lot of more focused attention on this part of what's going on in this moment, right? So there's a lot of organizing happening, and that's really powerful. And it's especially great for folks that are already in unions. But folks that are organizing unions, you know, we hear about it, we see a lot of it, but the shadow of what's happening is that folks are getting fired every day, they're having their hours reduced, or they're experiencing different levels of retaliation in the workplace because they're organizing, and because, quite frankly, corporations and employers can get away with it. And so what we're doing is we want to bring attention to help create a remedy in the immediate for these workers who are experiencing this retaliation. You know, we think that the federal government needs to do more, one, to hold corporations accountable for when they take these actions, to make sure that there's actual real consequences. Because, you know, like we just discussed, these cases can take months to even years before a ruling comes in favor of the worker who was fired, right? And in that time, the goal of what would happen has already been achieved by firing that worker and stopping the campaign. But what needs to happen is there needs to be effective consequences that will deter companies from taking this measure to begin with. And that absolutely would need to happen. And, you know, there's definitely laws, the PRO Act, there's other things that are existing to encourage that. But obviously there's gridlock in DC. Additionally, we need to see more effective resourcing of the agencies that are tasked with dealing with this when it happens, so that there is more immediate and swift responses and folks are sent back to work sooner and the rulings do come sooner. Again, hopefully to disincentivize this as a tactic that employers use. And then the most immediate thing, one of the things that we're most focused on right now, is making sure that when, you know, workers are fired because it's happening right now, that there are remedies being created to help support them in the aftermath of having lost their job because of organizing, whether that be creating more workforce opportunities for folks who are now maybe blacklisted from an industry they'd worked in, or might find it difficult to find another job right away because their previous reference is not going to be very supportive of them finding a new job. Or, you know, just some financial assistance to their families because they have now lost their income overnight. And so we want to see, you know, more accountability of employers and more consequence. We want to see more resources to the agencies that have to deal with this. And then we want to see some immediate support and response to workers as they get fired, because it's happening every day.
So people can donate directly to the funds that to offer the sort of support for workers who are retaliated against. But going back to this issue of raising the costs for employers to fire workers illegally, currently, the system is that if you feel like you've been retaliated against, you have to, first of all, file a complaint with the NLRB, and this understaffed agency will eventually maybe make a ruling. And if they make one in your favor, they may want fine your employer, and the employer by then may just dismiss that as the cost of staving off a union, which they see as hampering their long-term profitability, right? So is it a matter of just increasing the fines when employers are found guilty, but also just making it harder to fire non-union workers?
Yes, I think it's making it harder. And right now it's, you know, it's technically not really a fine for violating the law. What they will often be asked to do is pay some form of back wages to a worker who is found to be unfairly terminated. But at most, they have to just put a posting in the workplace saying that they, like, that this is the labor law, like, and that folks have a right to organize, right?
So they may not even get fined.
No, yeah. Currently, the way the law exists, there is no huge financial consequence for doing this. And so this is why, again, they factor into the cost of business themselves that, yeah, maybe they'll lose this case and they'll owe this worker back wages, but it was worth doing that. There is no building, you know, compounding fine for a repeat violator, right? You know, we're seeing it with Starbucks right now. Starbucks Workers United has identified over 200 workers that they have been fired for organizing, and Starbucks has had no consequence for that. And they've maybe reinstated a handful of them through the NLRB process, but that is not like a financial consequence in addition for having unfairly terminated folks for asserting their rights in the workplace.
Well, give out a website, Claudia, for where people can find out more about Unemployed Workers United, about the Fired Up campaign, etc.
Yeah. So folks can go to firedupnetwork.org. And that's where we're going to post, updates about our campaign. It's where you can make direct donations. So what we also do is we administer a fund. Again, we are looking for the federal government to do more immediate relief, but we're not going to, just simply wait. We're also providing direct relief to folks who have experienced retaliation for organizing the workplace. They can apply there and receive just some immediate, financial assistance in the moment in Wisconsin. We're very effective at being able to, folks can apply there. And through donations, we've been able to help several workers have at least some, relief in the immediate aftermath of having been fired for organizing. And folks can find the fund there at
Well, I want.
firedupnetwork.org.
We'll post links to that from our website as well. Claudia, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
My guest has been Claudia Magana, Campaigns Director for Unemployed Workers United. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, Racial Justice Editor at Yes Media and host of Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. And you can find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.